Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And good Tuesday afternoon. Welcome to the Steve Jones Show, SJS, for this Tuesday on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 15 in Hummel's Wharf. The Hilsters General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilsters General Store, 21st Century General Store. 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on Routes 11 and 15. You can always preview what they have, and there's a lot. www.hitstore.com. Bullying in sports. People have talked about it. We're going to bring an expert in today to discuss sports bullying and how peer pressure the opposite way can maybe change the tone. But the bottom line is it's still there. It's still an issue. And that's why we feel that we're compelled to talk about this. As I've always said, it doesn't matter in life where you are at 8 or 18. It does really matter in life where you are at 28, 38, 48, 58, 68. That's where it matters in life where you are. And the saddest thing is when you're 18, you've topped out or think you've topped out. Those are some of the issues we'll be talking about today with our guest. But before we get to any of that, here's Dan Patrick.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai. The deals are heating up at Sunbury Motors Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Hyundai is the fastest growing import dealer in all of Central PA. And SMC has over 50 to choose from with savings up to $3,500. Sunbury Motors has 10 of the fuel efficient Hyundai Elantra coupes starting at $16,645. Pick from 15 of the top selling 2013 Hyundai Sonatas and they're as low as $19,730. All with America's best warranty at 10 years and 100,000 miles. As always, SMC is making American luxury affordable with Lincoln. You want savings? Check out the new Lincoln Navigator with over 10 grand in discounts.
That's not small change.
Stop in and drive the all-new Lincoln MKZ, an awesome car with an awesome ride. So get to the big black building in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza across from Wise Markets and see two great manufacturers at one great location because the deals are hot. At Sunbury Motors Lincoln Hyundai.
Hey, welcome. Great to have you with us as we roll through on a afternoon. Jones, Sarah Bartlett alongside. Today's show, by the way, being brought by our good friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, you can always call us on the Hilsters General Store hotline at 1-800-795-9565, powered by Hilsters General Store. 1-800-795-9565, Hilsters General Store, the 21st Century General Store, located on Routes 11 and 15, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove. And you can always go to www.hilsterstore.com. Tomorrow, our plan is to be at the U.S. It's terrible. Tomorrow's the final practice round. And our plan right now is to be there tomorrow for the practice round and broadcasting live from Marion tomorrow at the U.S. Open. We're looking forward to that very, very much. As I told the story the other day, I remember the first U.S. Open I covered, and that was Arnold Palmer's last, and 18, and you know the emotion of that, and the crowd going crazy at Oakmont, knowing it was his last walk-up 18 on that Friday afternoon, and then him breaking down and crying in the interview tent afterward because it was too emotional. Apologizing to the media giving him a standing ovation. You're probably wondering why you haven't seen clips of that very often in your lifetime. As I pointed out, there's a reason why. It's the day OJ went for a trip in the Bronco.
So, yeah. That would be the reason why. That was an amazing day to see all that unfold at once, but it was all on the same day. And that was at Oakmont. Oh, what, 1994? That sound right? Yeah. So that was back in those days. Now we go through different personalities, different players. Personalities back then were Colin Montgomery, Ernie Els, who won the tournament that year, Jack Nicklaus, who was in contention. Now it's Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Rory McIlroy. McIlroy, Adam Scott, and Woods were all in the same grouping to start the tournament in the opening two rounds. They get the afternoon round on Thursday, which I don't know is going to be beneficial or not. Dave in Sunbury at 1-800-795-9565 in the Hillshire's General Store Hotline. Hi, Dave.
How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing well.
Well, where's that Maxwell at?
He's on vacation again. It's amazing how we've done this show the entire time, and I'm the only person that's ever had vacation.
Is that still?
I still haven't taken one yet.
No, but for him, that's still.
Well, for him, it's he claims he needs mental time off.
Oh, okay.
He needs a mental rest.
So
Sarah, stop laughing.
I am laughing. I don't
What's
think we
on
need
your
to
mind?
Talk about Kevin's mental anything.
That's their part of it.
What's on your mind today, Dave?
Well, are you going to partake in that golfing tournament or not?
Which
on
one
the 21st.
Is that? On the 21st of June?
Yeah.
I can't because I'm already committed to a tournament the 21st of June for intercollegiate athletics.
Oh, okay. Well, I heard and report that they have a full guard.
Well, good.
You know.
They don't need me there then.
No, I'm just going to wonder if Maxwell was going to be on the bag.
Are you talking about the Phil Lockoff Memorial?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is. It's actually already full, so that's they're doing a really good job with that so far.
Yeah, that one is sold out. And Kevin on the bag...
Yeah. Or is he in the bag?
Oh, half the time he is, sure.
I remember that cart went around. He was always looking for a drink.
Well, the beverage cart kept going around the day of the Purdy tournament.
Yeah.
And he was doing okay. He didn't take anything. And finally, he did knuckle down and he got something. He claims he started playing better afterward.
Well, that's entirely possible.
Well, I don't know if he could play worse.
Well, was it the third hole and the first time around you guys tried it, and the sixth hole and the second time?
Is unbelievable.
Is it going to be the ninth in the next round?
I don't know. We're just going to have to, whatever it takes to get him to play better, you know, I suggested resignation.
I said he ought to be the caddy, just carry the clubs.
But I'm really thrilled that the Phil Lockoff Memorial Tournament is sold out. That's a real statement about what the man meant to the area.
Well, on your gift, I put a little thought into that one.
Yes, I know you did. Very much so. Thank you.
Well, I said, hey, I just said that for one reason is, I got to go to an ornithologist here in the not-too-distant future. pH was up in my prostate, so...
Well, just because it is doesn't necessarily mean it's bad news, so keep,
no, but
keep a positive
say, you
attitude.
Know, I work for the bad news, Steve, so if it's not...
Ah, so you go in with the idea that it could be that way when you get the good news, you're pleasantly surprised?
Right. The uptick.
Well, I want you to keep a positive attitude because positive attitude means a lot in terms of how you do in life. Now, see, Sarah has a positive attitude about everything.
That's true. I'm always positive.
And then there's Kevin, gloomy Gus.
Eric, what's your positive attitude about Tim Tebow?
Well, you know what? I'm happy for him that he landed someplace, and it's actually someplace where, you know, if he had gone really there are only a handful of places that he could have gone where it wouldn't be the circus coming to town.
And New England
happens to be one of them. He's not going to be coddled there. He's going to be the third string guy there, and he's not going to create a media flame out there because, look, the Patriots, they already have a stable quarterback situation to begin with, as opposed to the Jets, who had an insecure starter. The Patriots have about as secure a starter as you can ask for. They also have an offensive coordinator in Josh McDaniels, who was part of the management group that drafted Tim Tebow in Denver. So he knows what he's dealing with, who he's dealing with, what he's capable of, and what he's not capable of. And there are literally in New England, there are no expectations about what Tim Tebow can do.
Well, I think I said, Steve, it all started when that owner in the Jets brought him in and then threw him in there and say, you know, the three-ring circus. He started that whole mess with that deal.
Well, look at training camp last year at Cortland State University. They had an entire gift shop at Cortland dedicated to material about him. I understand his popularity, but as a football player, he's got to become a better practice player, and he has to become a better thrower of the football, more accurate. He'll get that kind of work in New England without the pressure of having to go out and play it.
Well, that whole organization's run a whole lot better than the Jets anyway.
Well, let me put it this way, okay? Even some of the stations that we compete with are actually better run than the Jets organization. And that's a statement unto itself.
Yeah. Well, I said, you know, I only call in to let you know, since, you know, I'm going for tests and stuff. Just let you.
Well, you'll be in our prayers. We'll be thinking about you, and hopefully everything will go well. I know that you're taking the attitude of you want to be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah.
I'm taking a positive. I'll take the positive attitude on your behalf.
Okay, you do that.
All right.
Well, I said, you know, I only call you because, you know, we consider ourselves family. So.
That's right.
You know, and whenever you see that. We're going to call him. I don't know about calling Maxwell or the Bernstein Bear.
Well, to me, he's Gloomy Gus. There's a lot of things we can call him.
Okay, well, you have a good day.
Right.
Hang up and listen.
Believe it or not, mostly I call him friend. So we'll do that. Friend and colleague.
Right.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate it. 800-795-9565. Dave Ferguson will be with us. He's put together a group called Beyond the Cheers. This is about bullying in sports. He'll be our guest at 3:35. Doug Smith, the strength and conditioning coach at Juniata College, the 13th annual Juniata College strength and conditioning, Pennsylvania strength and conditioning conference is taking place this weekend. We'll get some of his thoughts on that since they're the host. And that's what we'll do in the 4 o'clock hour as well. So we have a lot going on today. And, yes, Tim Tebow did sign with the Patriots. And, look, it's a great spot for him to land because there are no expectations. Zero. The circus doesn't have to come to town. Belichick doesn't have to deal with it. Rex Ryan dealt with it all the time and was too open about it. You know, Belichick's going to look at everybody and say, I'm sorry, he's the third-string quarterback. Don't we want to talk about the guys we're going to play? And that's the way it's going to be. And I think for those who are big fans of Tim Tebow, of which there are many, this part has worked out very well because I really thought that his only landing spot was going to be the CFL. I really thought it was his only landing spot was the CFL. Well, now he's with the Patriots. And don't start going through, well, he could be an H-back. He could be a tight end. You know how difficult it is to play those spots? I mean, it takes a lot to do that. He's a good athlete. He also has lost a lot of weight. He lost, I think he lost 15 pounds. He was almost too big to be a quarterback in some ways. He lost 15 pounds in this training regimen, went out with a guru that was a throwing guru in Arizona, one of the best. He then worked on footwork in Florida with Chris Winkie. So he's done a lot of things to try and improve himself as a player, to his credit. And he knew he had to improve, and he went out and decided to do it.
Here in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Elmo's Wharf. Hilster's General Store hotline open at 800-795-9565. Dave Ferguson on Sports Bulling, following the news on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Studio. Unsure of Kevin's location, thus the door is locked. I assume he's in a casino. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Hilsers General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilsers General Store. 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on Routes 11 and 15. You can always go to www.hilsersstore.com. A chance to talk with Dave Ferguson on Sports Bulling. Dave, it's great this on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
What drew you to this issue of sports bullying?
Well, it's a fairly large problematic thing going on in sports, specifically with kids. And the numbers that keep popping back even today is approximately 40% of kids in youth sports are bullied in one way, shape, or form, whether it's indirect abuse or direct abuse, and that can include, a number of things. And I think, that really hits me really hard with regards to kids today, because as they become adults, and if they happen to leave sports because of the bullying, then their generation of kids, may not participate in sports simply because of that.
Is it more the coach, or is it more the peer?
It's a combination there of the numbers that I do have are specifically with coaches turning into, from being mentors to being predators and doing other things and, just being bullies with the coaches themselves. Certainly it does fall into place, and there's not many numbers to substantiate a lot of it, but with regards to kids or peers or teammates picking on each other during the course of, whether it's a hazing ritual, whether it's on the bench, whether it's in the locker room or situations like that. And, even some of it comes back to the parents as well. In some cases, in some sports, coaches are volunteers and they are parents. And, parents do some things in the stands and they, unknowingly, do things with their own children for trying to better their game, whether it's, and trying to get them to improve on the way to the game or after the game, and just really being really hard on them.
Ironically, Vince Lombardi's 100th birthday would have been today. He was a strict disciplinarian, but he was a strict disciplinarian with men. What is the fine line between strict disciplinarian that's beneficial for a youth versus one that's being abused?
Being strict, and as long as the kids and the athletes know up front the rules that or the way the coach coaches, toting the line very hard and making sure that they are doing things that they're supposed to be doing in practice rather than, a lot of tomfoolery, and then respecting the coach and all the things they're trying to be taught in order to make their game so much better. For the athlete's perspective, where it gets to the point of the bullying or abusive situations, you can take Rutgers Athletics, for instance, throwing basketballs at the player's head and racial slurs and being condescending towards the players. I think that's what's where it changes from being a disciplinarian and a strict coach into being an abusive coach when you start doing things with condescending to the players and using a lot of foul language, and because you're not gaining the respect of the players in any way, shape, or form by doing that. So there are a lot of coaches out there that are strict, and I think some of these kids do thrive upon having a strict coach, but they got to be careful not to step over that fence or over that line and then take it another step further and start browbeating the kids or throwing water bottles at them and things of that nature.
When you, as a parent,
how important is it to keep an open line of communication with your child when they're in a sport so that they feel that you're going to be an advocate for them?
Well, absolutely. It's a good question, too. The parents, I think, the key role they play is specifically even at registration time or prior to that, you know, let your child know what is right and what is wrong and what is perceived to be incorrect or abusive behavior, bullying behavior from a coach. And, you know, not necessarily, tell them it's going to happen, but just let them know that there is a possibility of this happening. You've got to treat this with kid gloves, too, because you don't want to, you know, the child be fearful of even playing sports altogether. But let them know what is acceptable. And if they do find something they're not comfortable about, it's not necessarily anything their child's doing to start this bullying behavior directed towards them or the team. It's just that they need to be aware of it, that it does occur, and to, you know, come to mom or dad or someone you feel comfortable with and talk about it and let somebody else know, because that's a lot of the key to it is sometimes these kids just, they bottle it all up and they don't say anything to anybody and nobody's the wiser, especially if you've got parents that drop your kids off at practice and games and aren't there to watch them. So you're on the relying on other parents and other kids to step forward if something has gone wrong on the playing surface.
Once you establish that line of communication with your child, okay, what should you do if you find out your child's being abused while playing a sport?
There's a number of ways to do that, and I think you need to tread lightly with a few things. But certainly, first and foremost, you can either take it up with the coach if the coach is approachable. And I always, from my days gone by, I always wanted to have a good meeting with the coach. A good coach usually. I always enjoy that 24-hour cool-down period. If there is something that has transpired, then you talk to them when calmer heads prevail, I guess, in 24 hours, and talk to the coach about that. If you're not getting any satisfaction with that, you can take it to the next level, which would be the board or the organization or the association running this the sport itself and the organization, and take it to them. And sometimes you run into the good old boys network where, you know, this coach has won awards and accolades. Well, nothing's wrong with this coach. We've never had an issue with him, so we're not going to deal with it. So, you know, you take that ball as far as you want to carry it. Of course, the next step, if you're not getting any satisfaction at that point, you can take it to the governing body of sport. And if you really want to take it to the ultimate level where if you see fit and you're not getting any satisfaction anywhere else, there's also legal recourse. And that happens not as frequently as it sounds, but it does happen upon occasion. You're not getting any satisfaction in any way, shape, or form in getting things resolved properly.
As a parent, you also have to be a good observer. So as you observe, what are the signs of coaching versus abuse?
I think from the child's perspective, you need to watch your child to see if there's any behavior issues, any withdrawing from social activity, any reluctance into going to practice. That's from the kid's perspective. So from the parent's perspective and watching the signs and symptoms of the coach, you just need to the behavior. You know, if they're yelling in some forms is acceptable. I mean, if you're on a soccer pitch or if you're on a football field, you know, obviously you can't talk in a you and I voice that we're having right now, you know, and you're trying to get a message off to the quarterback or a message off to the goalie, you know, just by standing on the sidelines, obviously you need to yell it. So, I mean, yelling at that particular point in time is acceptable. It's when you're getting a nose-to-nose yelling situation or the coach is berating the player in front of others, in front of the teammates, in front of the spectators. You know, those are certainly quite evident signs that there's bullying going on with that particular coach, and then to take matters in your own hands and trying to address that in some way, shape, or form. It's the obvious ones that really come back. You just got to make sure that you're not stepping out of bounds, and you want to make sure there's some sort of a pattern in some way, shape, or form, rather than just a one-off instance, because you could be, you know, upsetting the coach. And next thing you know, it's hard to find volunteer coaches to begin with, so you really don't want to upset the apple cart prematurely.
Yeah, I always used to tell parents, just remember, there's a big difference between being yelled at and being yelled to.
Exactly.
There's a big difference. In other words, if you're trying to move somebody, I said, look, he's 250 feet away from me. I said, I got to yell to him to tell him to move over a little bit.
Exactly. You know, some parents just take that the wrong way. You're yelling at my child. Well, yeah, well, he's, like you say, he's 250 yards away. What am I going to do? Get out a megaphone and say something, or I'm going to wait till he comes off the field? No, you want him to move. Same thing in baseball. You want your outfield to shift. How are you going to do it? You've got to yell at them, you know, in a positive fashion, of course. You just don't,
right.
You know, do it negatively, of course.
What are some of the keys for a parent when they talk to their child that can be at least a conversation opener to at least get that line of communication open about what is or isn't going on?
You want to establish that early on, even before the season starts. I think that's just a parenting thing altogether. Of course, none of us that are parents comes with a handbook for their children when they're born, so we have to adapt and do what we can. But sitting with your child and, you know, and then keeping that line of communication open. Like if you see something going on, whether it's even with someone else on your team, you know, by all means, bring that back to someone you trust. And hopefully your parents your children do have that line of communication previously to getting involved in sports anyways. And that trust component is there as well. So they do feel comfortable coming back with you. I mean, the older the kids get into the teen years and the rebellious years and so on and so forth, they're not going to be able to, the lines of communication are, you know, not exist in some kids because they don't even want to associate with their kids or their parents. So, you know, it's important to draw that line early on and let them know that, you know, anything going outside that you're not even comfortable with, by all means, you know, raise it to myself or at least raise it to a teammate, and maybe that teammate might be a little more forthcoming as opposed to your own child and opening up.
We've talked about the coach in all of this. Where else can bullying come from?
It can come from, as we said earlier, you know, the teammates, right. Even the officials, and I've seen this on numerous occasions, too. The officials can berate and bully the kids that are on the sports field and doing a lot of nasty things, whether it's verbally or emotionally or whatever the case may be, or, you know, specifically even from other coaches or other parents from opposing teams, you know, saying, well, you're this, you know, Johnny or Sally, you're not great enough, you're not good enough, you're not a good player, you're not a sportsman. You get things even at a handshake, an innocent handshake at the end of a game where, you know, a coach may do something silly to an opponent and then say something. But, you know, they can get it from any part in the involving sports. If it's not from the officials, the teammates, the parents, the coaches, yeah, and the kids, you know, there's kids sometimes, you know, even can be cruel in the schoolyard and not necessarily involved with that particular sport, but can, you know, could say something, well, you know, specifically if a child's taking gymnastics or dance or whatever the case may be, and other children don't see that as something as very athletic in nature, then, you know, they could be bullying as well. They're not even teammates. They're not even close friends. They're just, you know, kids in the schoolyard, too. So it can come from all places.
It's interesting because, you know, I'll see kids and they'll act in a certain way. And I try to remind them every single time, in life, you have accomplished nothing at 8. You've accomplished nothing at 18. It's where are you in life when you're 28, 38, 48, and 58, 68 that counts. Where you are when you're 8 and 18 doesn't matter where you are in life.
Exactly. You know, and a lot of these lessons that they learn as children, they carry on through the rest of their lives. And, you know, so you want to make sure when you run into a situation where the coaches or anybody for that matter, they run into some bullying and abuse, whether indirect or direct, at a sporting event, you make sure it's dealt with in a proper fashion because you don't want them to carry that in their backpack of things and lessons that they're going to carry through the rest of their life. And, you know, hopefully have that positive experience in sports. So sports does teach a lot of life lessons that you carry on through the rest of your life. And certainly if it's positive and you're involved in a really good culture of sport, then that carries through the rest of your days.
Hey, you've been a sports coach. What sports did you coach?
I coached a myriad of sports. I coached baseball. I coached soccer. I coached hockey. I coached tennis.
Wow.
I had a few armchair sports that I didn't bother coaching in, but I thought that was enough from my side of the fence with coaching on that regard. And, you know, so, and you know, always good experiences with kids and specifically my own. And I never forced my children to play any particular sport. If they wanted to do it, I support them in whatever they wanted to do, financially, emotionally, and whatever way I can.
Right. When you coached baseball, were you one of those that kept track of innings and tried to even it up as much as possible?
I did, you know, and regardless of what level even the coach does, more specifically with mine, it was travel. We called it travel house league, you know, and you wanted to make sure that, and the kids were the first one to let you know, too, and then the parents will let you know that, you know, my son or daughter hasn't played for two innings. But you're trying to, you know, rattle off, you got 13, 14, 16 kids, you're trying to rotate on an even basis. Throughout there and make sure you're utilizing their skill level. You know that one particular trial is not going to be the greatest on first base, but, you know, depending on what level you're at, whether you're at an elite level, at a competitive level, or just strictly a house league level, that's where it takes to play. And that's where the coach's role comes important at the beginning of the season, whether, you know, you're going to play competitively, whether you're just going to play every player with equal opportunity. It all depends, and there might be rules that are enforced by the league as well, so that comes into play as well. But that the kids are first and foremost to let me know that they sat for a couple of innings, and if, you know, and I try and make it up to them, and hadn't done so in many, many occasions. Right. That you know, my apologies, you sat more innings than you should have. Out you go, and we'll make someone else take a turn.
We've talked so much in this segment about organized sports. I know when I was growing up back in the 1920s. Just kidding. yeah, we had organized sports. We had organized basketball. We had organized baseball. But we spent much more time going out and picking up teams and playing sandlot, whatever, sandlot basketball, yeah. Sandlot baseball, sandlot football. It doesn't seem like our society has as much of that anymore. Is that a plus or a minus?
I see that as a minus because, you know, the numbers that keep coming back, you know, across the globe, there's the number of obese children. You get a lot of them. There's a lot more things drawing kids away from sport and physical activity with all the technology that's out there, and they tend to be more reclusive and things of that nature. And even the, you know, going back to some other discussions I've had with other athletes and athletes of children, from Olympic athletes and stuff like that, they talked about, you know, parents a little more cognizant and a little more wary and let their son or daughter even play out in the driveway. Gosh, when I grew up, we played you know, basketball out in the driveway, we played hockey out in the driveway, and we went down to the park and played baseball, football, and whatever the case may be, just like you mentioned, the sandlot sports. And, you know, you don't see that as much anymore because I think a lot of the kids they're too involved in a lot of different things, whether it's all sporting activities, a lot of technology things going on. There's a lot more things that are out there to entertain our children or to keep our kids busy. And sometimes, even today, kids get their parents get them involved in a lot of organized sports where they don't have an awful lot of downtime for themselves to go and play with their chums at the, you know, the corner lot down the street, and, you know, play pickup, which, you know, that's where you learn a lot of stuff on your own and from your own friends of how to do things. You know, if you don't have a good relationship with your coach, it's always best to learn stuff from your buddies and friends.
Dave Ferguson, an absolute pleasure. Appreciate the talk, and hopefully we'll talk again soon.
I'd like that. Thanks very much for having me on the show. Really appreciate it.
And that's Dave Ferguson. His topic, sports bullying and how to combat it. One of the more important parts, direct line of communication, parent to child, knowing that you're their advocate and that they can come to you. Next half hour, we'll talk with Doug Smith of Juniata College on the 13th Annual Strength and Conditioning Conference taking place at Juniata. We'll talk with him next half hour. Vince Lombardi's 100th birthday would have been today. Great man. We'll play back some of the great moments for him in the final half hour. Coming up next, Jason Johnson sent me some interesting things on Facebook about our guy Kev. It's fascinating and mind-boggling at the same time as we come back on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay. We bring you to this brilliant exchange. AJ Allmendinger ran NASCAR over the weekend, so Kevin, being the crack reporter that he is, goes up to him and interviews him, and he says, are you going to be running IndyCar anymore? He says, I'm the only guy here that seemed to know he even ran IndyCar. He's going to be running IndyCar anymore. He says, possibly. He says, next month here? He said, possibly. I mean, scintillating information-laced interview.
I thought I was a good reporter.
You are a good reporter. You believe me, you know how much I respect I have for you as a reporter. Very, very high. But that, if I went into a journalism class and played that back, it's don't ever do this. Then he posted a picture of the blimp. He said, you know, basically, this must be a big event. It's like the Little League World Series. They have a blimp. Kevin, do you know how many events I go to in a year where there's a blimp? Okay, they're a blimp. They have a lot of blimps. The event I'm going to tomorrow has a blimp. Oh. Sarah, what do you think? Should I take him into my broadcasting class sometime?
Oh, that would be fantastic. Please do.
I'd have to somehow record it, play it back on the show.
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to be racing IndyCar? Possibly. Here next month? Possibly. Wow.
Crack report.
I got a lot of that.